So I hate to admit it, but I'm naturally a glass half empty kind of guy. Anyone else? There's two of us. That's good. But I, on my own, I naturally focus on what's wrong or what could go wrong or what could be better. And this was really brought home to me a number of years ago when my family gave me an Eeyore coffee mug for Christmas. Yes. I didn't know it was that obvious. I don't use it. No, but without the Holy Spirit's presence, I'm a bit of a pessimist, I confess. But it isn't that difficult to be a bit critical, a bit pessimistic in the world we live in. There are a lot of negative things out there, right? There are a lot of frustrating, maddening things in our lives, in our family, in our city, our state, our country, our world. And it's really easy to get bogged down with all of that and kind of focused on that. And I think it's compounded by the way we're conditioned in America to be discontent, to always want more or better or different. And yet, God's people are called to praise the Lord. And that call is given to us over 250 times throughout the scripture. So it's probably kind of important. So why are we to praise the Lord in a broken world when so many things aren't right or aren't the way we want them to be? We're going to entertain that question a little bit this morning. As we begin a few weeks in the Psalms, so we follow the narrative lectionary, and we've spent a few weeks in Romans, and now we're going to spend about 4 weeks in the Psalms. And this morning we are going to look at Psalm 113. A little background: Psalm 113 is the first of what's called the Egyptian Hallel, a collection of psalms from 113 to 118. Egyptian because these were composed around Passover, which occurred in Egypt. Hallel means praise. This collection, Psalm 113 through 118, was used during Israel's feast. So the Psalms 113 and 14 were sung by the people before the Passover meal. And then Psalms 115 through 118 were sung after the Passover meal. So this is a significant collection, and Psalm 113 kind of kicks it off. In Matthew 26, it tells us that Jesus and the disciples sang after the Lord's Supper. And so we're pretty sure what they were singing were Psalms 115 through 118, and they probably sang 113 and 14 before their meal. So let's take some time now just to read the psalm and think about our need for praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. So why are we to praise God in a broken world like ours? To begin with, we're invited to praise God because it's our vocation, it's our job. God is to be praised, the psalmist says, by all his servants. And we're to praise his name. And what that refers to is the attributes and the character qualities and the acts that God has done are associated with his name. They represent who he is and what he's done. And so we're to praise the grace and the mercy and the generosity, the faithfulness, the forgiveness, all the things that God has revealed to us about himself. He is to be praised now and forevermore because he will forever be who he is now, and so is forever to be praised through eternity. And the psalmist says the whole earth is to praise him, from the farthest point east, from the place where the sun rises to the place where it sets, to the farthest place west. All the earth is to praise him. And what the psalmist has in mind here probably is a picture of God's people who are scattered across the globe, that across the nations, God's people are to be giving praise to God wherever they are. Praise is our vocation because everything was created to praise and give glory to God. Psalm 19 begins by, "The heavens declare the glory of God." All creation declares the glory of God and gives praise to him. Philippians 4:4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." Colossians 1:16, Paul talks about how everything was created by Christ and for Christ. It all exists to give him glory and praise. And in Revelation 5, we see a picture of the chorus that we join that's going on in heaven giving praise to God. There's in chapter 5, there's a description of the creatures that surround the throne of God and giving praise to him. And then there are many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 who circle the throne and give praise to God. And then I heard, verse 13 of Revelation 5, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.'" All creation is to praise God. He created all things and is to receive praise from all things. The fact that we are created to praise and worship is something that's obvious to us, right? We see people worshiping or idolizing things all over the place. If they're not followers of Jesus, maybe even if they are. What are some things that we see people worshiping or idolizing? Throw them out. Money?
Success?
Sports. I know, the Golden State Warriors lost. I love you, brother. Not really. What else?
Other people.
Comfort.
Their own praise.
We were created to worship, and so we are going to worship something. And we're created to worship God and give praise to him. So as our vocation, then, we must make praising God a regular foundational part of our lives, both individually and corporately. We're to be setting our hearts and minds on things above to reflect on and meditate on who God is. Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 1, "Therefore, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." So it's this call to be focused on God and to give our attention to him and give praise to him. And so it needs to be something that we're intentional about, because the American way, unfortunately, is to be critical, complaining. Nothing is quite right or the way we want it. Most of you know I was in Ecuador this week. I had to come back a little early before the rest of the team. And I tell you, it is so humbling to be with such poor, simple, generous, and loving people. I mean, it's a huge impact on us from America. And Monday through Wednesday, we began the day together, spending some time in the Word and then in praying together. And the first day on Monday, I looked up as we were praying. I looked up and I saw something that I took a picture of, and it's a terrible picture because I was praying, so give me a break. So we're in this room, and we're all in a circle. So you can see there's Adam Fassel there. And we're praising God. In this sanctuary, this is their sanctuary, this is the front of their sanctuary, and there's no heat in the sanctuary, so it's a cold, damp place. And so I looked up, and hearing this praise, and they have this big patch in the middle of their concrete floor, and I felt like it was just such an amazing contrast. Here these people have this building that's cold, damp, with patches in their concrete, and all these people were doing were weeping in praise to God. It was overwhelming. And when I looked up and saw that and heard the praise, I just had to take a picture because I needed to remember. It's not about what the floor is like. It's not about how warm the room is. It's not about what we have or what we don't have. It's about God is worthy of praise. And that's what these people understand far better than I do. So praising God is our vocation. Something that, because I'm a little bit Eeyore-ish at times, one of my spiritual disciplines for Lent was starting my day with heartfelt praise. And I didn't want it just to be, oh, thank God for the sun and thank you for the... But I wanted it to be something that was coming from my heart. And you know what I found? It was really difficult for me to not just recite things, but to really be grateful and praise God for the things in our life. And especially because we, Teresa and I, have been going through some challenging times with different things. So it was hard, but it's been life-changing. I almost feel like I'm creating new pathways in my brain that focuses more on what there is to praise God for than what's wrong. And it's really been life-changing for me, but it's also been very convicting to realize this is not easy for me, because I obviously am focused on things that are wrong more often. So above all things, God's people are created to worship and to sing God's praise. We're also invited to praise God because he is worthy. The psalmist gets into, the Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who's like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high? And what he's trying to reflect to us is that God's power and his value and importance is far more than all the nations. In fact, it says his glory is above the heavens. And what he's referring to is that God's glory and greatness extends far beyond what we're aware of, what we can see or understand. It's beyond the heavens, beyond what we can see and experience in our lives. He also says the Lord is sovereign. He's enthroned above the nations, no matter how powerful or big the nations may seem. And I was reflecting on Isaiah chapter 40 that really expands on this whole idea that God is enthroned above the heavens. And he says things like, the nations are a drop in the bucket to the Lord. The people are like grasshoppers. Just giving us this image that God is so far greater and above anything on earth, even though it doesn't seem that way at sometimes. That no one is worthy like the Lord, for he's enthroned above all things. He has greater value and power and authority by far than anything that exists. Pete Scazzaro says it this way: behind and above a world that appears out of control and chaotic stands the reality of God's sovereignty. Our relaxed Father, who is completely in control and utterly unfrustrated. To remember, God is worthy of praise because he is so far above. He is sovereign in his love and power. But the psalmist goes on. There's more to his greatness, his worthiness of praise, because we're used to the powerful being inaccessible, the powerful using their wealth and their power and their resources for themselves to accumulate more and more. But what we see in God is that his greatness is seen in how he cares for and lifts up those who are in need and broken. He raises the poor from the dust, in verse 7, and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of their people. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. He does not just condescend to us, just reach down to us, but he lifts us up to be with him. And that's the image here, is he is reaching down to those who are in need and lifting them up to share with them, with us, all that he has and all that he is. And we see this in Jesus so clearly, right? Jesus was constantly reaching down to people and lifting them up and healing them and restoring them and giving them hope and grace and kindness and forgiveness. Lifting us up and restoring us. Because as hard as it is to believe, it's the Lord's nature to be both exalted and humble, to be both above and alongside the brokenhearted. It's who our God is. Lifting us up, treating every human being equally with all that he has. I don't know if you ever heard of the Giving Pledge. Anyone heard of that? In 2010, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett started inviting billionaires in America to commit themselves to giving away half of their resources, half of their wealth. And it's grown now to be worldwide, and I think at this point there's 204 people who have pledged from 23 countries to give half of their wealth away, either while they're alive or in their death. That's pretty awesome, don't you think? To commit to, we're just going to give half of my $1 billion away. I'm one of the pledgers, by the way. No, I'm not. And as generous, and as I thought about that, how amazing that is, that there are people who have that kind of generosity, who would be willing to commit themselves to that, half of their wealth. But then I was reflecting on God. God gives all that he has away. He doesn't hold anything back. Everything that is his is ours, that he gives generously and shares with us. The psalmist gives us some examples. God cares for and lifts up the poor and lowly, lifts them out of the dump to seat them with princes. And those words in verse 7 are quoted from Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 2:8, as Hannah was given the gift of giving a child, and so she's praising God as one who lifts people up out of the ash heap. And the psalmist goes on to talk about a barren woman. And in this culture at this time, a barren woman was an outcast and seen as cursed, really, that somehow they've done something wrong, that God has cursed them. And so they were outcast, even from their family, if they couldn't bear children. And so the psalmist says, for example, God restores a barren to her family and home by giving her children. What kind of powerful, sovereign ruler pays attention to and lifts up the needy to be with him? Our Lord does. Think of all the ways he lifts us up, or that how he has lifted you up. The way he's healed or restored or encouraged or given you hope or provided or given guidance. How he's justified you, adopted you, given you acceptance. I mean, we could go on. I mean, this would be a service, right? Of just thinking of all the ways, how has God lifted us up and given us far more than we deserve or that we ever expected. And I believe God's people are to be like him in this way, so that through us, God receives even more praise, because people see his grace and mercy in us and give praise to God. And I think this is what Jesus had in mind when he said in Matthew 5:16, he's been talking about we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And so he said, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That we're to have the same heart, the same desire as the Lord in lifting people up, in blessing them and encouraging them, that people see us and go, wow, your God is great. Praise him for what you're doing for him. So we're invited to praise God because he's worthy. Now Psalm 113, this psalm begins with praise the Lord, which is in Hebrew, hallelujah. Begins in verse 1 with hallelujah. At the very end of verse 9, the last verse, it ends with the same word, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I think what we see here is that now that we've heard the call to praise, and we've reflected and recounted on why he's worthy of praise, our response is to praise him. Wow, praise God for who he is and who we are. And so I believe we're invited to praise the Lord because it's for our pleasure. Yes, he is exalted above all nations. Yes, he should be praised forevermore. Yes, he lifts up the lowly. But there is no one or nothing more awesome, more beautiful, more precious, more captivating in the entire existence than the Lord. And so when we focus on God's majesty, his beauty, and his glory, it brings us great pleasure. Even more so than when we express it. Because our natural response to something beautiful or captivating is what? We've got to share it. We've got to say something about it, right? To say, wow, or beautiful, awesome. I mean, you almost can't help it, right? When you see something that's just amazing, you have to say something, do something. I see this as, you know, as many faults as there are in Facebook and Instagram, one of the things I like about them is that you see people posting beautiful things. Now, why is that? Because they see something beautiful and they want to share it, right? Like a sunrise or you know, a scene of somewhere or a mountain or, you know, and so it's beautiful to see people sharing, wow, look how beautiful this is. Because it's a natural response to being captivated by something. The week before we left for Ecuador, our rose bush had its first flower. That's a little better picture than the last one. It's not great. But I had to take a picture, and when I saw the rose, when I saw the colors, I said, wow. But that wasn't enough. I thought, I got to text this to Teresa, you know? So I took the picture and I texted it to her just because I couldn't help not sharing it, right? You know what I'm talking about? When you see something that takes your heart like that, you've got to say something, you've got to share something, and this is what God is inviting us into. When you begin to see my beauty and my glory and my majesty and see how captivating I am, you're not going to be able to stop praising me. You're going to be so filled with the joy, with my joy, with my presence, with my goodness, you won't be able to stop giving praise to me. And it's going to be so awesome for you and so awesome for me. This isn't a good analogy, but it would be like if you commanded me to eat ice cream. Ralph, eat ice cream. Okay. I mean, God is saying, please worship me, praise me. It's going to be so great. So praising God is our vocation as God's people. The Lord is certainly worthy of our praise for all he is and does, but praising him is also for our pleasure. It's one of the reasons we are created to enjoy him forever. There's nothing like him. His glory is far beyond anything we know, and when we can lose ourselves in him, we will touch his joy and be filled with his pleasure. Some of you are familiar with the Westminster Shorter Catechism that states that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. And C.S. Lewis commented on this and said this, "Fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him." It's not a chore. It's not a task. It's for our pleasure. Worship me. Taste and see how good I am. Ralph, eat ice cream. Gladly. We're invited to praise God because it's for our pleasure. That's what God is like, right? So it seems like we've lost sight of this need for praise in our country. At least I know it's lacking in my life. So what can we do? I was just musing on that, and let me just close with some of these questions. What if we made praising God our vocation and began giving more of our attention to his beauty and majesty throughout our days? What if we started praising him all week, seeing his beauty and gathering on Sunday to celebrate his praise and share the things that he has done? What if our open sharing time started taking the entire morning because there were just so many things we had to praise God for? And we couldn't hold it back, right? We just couldn't not talk about, oh, let me tell you that. No, let me tell you this. Okay, be quiet, guys. We got to get on with, you know, worship. Right. And what if we started seeing our worship services as more about praising his name than satisfying our needs? I think that's what our worship is meant to be. Praising God, sisters and brothers, it's our vocation because he is worthy, and it's ultimately for our pleasure. Let's pray about that together. God, we join the psalmist. We join all the creatures who surround you and praise you even now. to praise your name. There is none like you. You are enthroned above all things. You are sovereign. You are great. You are loving and gracious and merciful. Lord, your praise is endless, and we will spend eternity giving you praise. Lord, you know my heart's desire is to become a man who praises you much more than I do, who sees your beauty, who focuses on your majesty, your goodness, and in so doing, not being able to help sharing it and expressing it. Lord, may we all become these kind of people that you've created us to be, people who give praise to you, regardless of the circumstances or the situations, for your good. And all of God's people said, amen.